graduated Harvard Law School, what course did your life take at that time?
As I've already indicated, I was the youngest of four children. My brother Jack, my sister Celia, and my brother Louis were all married when I came out of law school. They were all still living in Steubenville, where my father's business was still identified, and my brother Louis was the active business man. My brother Jack was practicing law in Steubenville, and I think it's appropriate to say was perhaps one of the most prominent lawyers in Steubenville, associated with non-Jewish partners. One of such partners was a judge on the Common Pleas Court, and subsequently a judge on the Circuit Court of Appeals. My sister was married to Al Monheim, Albert Monheim, and was living in Steubenville. And my brother-in-law, Al, was involved in the business with my brother Louis and my father. I came to Pittsburgh because my parents were then living in Pittsburgh, and I thought it was more appropriate for me to come home and live with my parents, particularly because they were in a larger community, and perhaps I was somewhat concerned about my ability to earn a living without their support. So I knew I had a home, and again, my father and mother, as always, assured me that if I wasn't able to meet the office rent, that I would not be embarrassed, and I was always free to ask them.
Supportive.
And I found myself picking up the Jewish heritage that I enjoyed as a boy in Cass, and as a young high school student in Steubenville. I picked it up quickly in Pittsburgh, because while my mother and father were members of Beth Sholem, I joined Rhoda Sholem as a junior and was one of the founding members of the junior congregation at Rhoda Sholem. And Dr. Freehoff was our senior rabbi, and Rabbi Jack Rothschild was his assistant.
Where did your family live in Pittsburgh?
We lived at the corner of Stanton and Highland when they first moved to Pittsburgh. When I came out of law school, they had already moved to Malvern Avenue, 1216 Malvern Avenue. And parenthetically, again, one of our young lawyers here at our office about 7 or 8 years ago bought that property and is still living in it. We lived next door. Well, I think we were living there first, but Dr. Leo Creep lived next door in a home built few years after our place was built, and we lived across the street from Rabbi Halpin and David Wilcox, and Mr. and Mrs. Morton Dorfman, parents of Harriet Dorfman Levinson, and on the other side of our home were the Myers, Edward Myers. It was a beautiful area, if I may say so. It was developed, that particular part of Alvern Avenue was relatively new, developed by Harry Kamen, Herman King, that's the father of Harry King, in Salford.
Can you tell us anything about your years at Harvard?
At Harvard, I lived with four roommates. It was in the Depression years, and we quickly recognized that we could enjoy apartment living as a group for less than dormitory costs were. So we were fortunate in getting a private apartment. By private, I mean an apartment building that was not available for law school students, but for the fact that in the Depression years made it somewhat necessary for owners and landlords to accept law students. We lived on Broadway in this apartment building, found it desirable to get a houseman. And I mention that because all of my roommates were in substantially the same financial position that I was in. We all enjoyed the support of our respective parents, and we were all very sensitive to the economic limitations. So we joined forces and had very desirable living quarters.
Ahead of your time.
And appointed one of our roommates as a steward and gave him the grand sum of $20 a week to provide food, with the condition that he had no need to itemize any of his expenses or his purchases or expenditures unless he required additional money. And we always kept within our budget, and we enjoyed what I look back upon as unusually fine living quarters and the grand association. And again, parenthetically, I must say that our second daughter, Susan, who is now married, living in New York, a lawyer, having finished Wellesley, took some graduate work at Harvard, and lived in this same apartment building.
Oh, okay.
By happenstance,
incredible.
Under different circumstances, I must say, but the building was still an attractive building, well located, and just by happenstance, Susan found an apartment not as large as we had, but for her accommodations and her requirements in the same building. Made purchases at the same drugstore and made purchases at the same shopping center or supermarket that we used to patronize when we were law students.
Talk about how you met Selma.
Yes, I should say just before I get into that, because that's a far more significant area that I want to talk about, that I truly enjoyed my law school work. Again, I say it was a new world for me because I was exposed to the Eastern community and, of course, the graduate school life. I still had a great deal of my Midwestern lifestyle and interests. Again, I say country living. And Michigan, while it was a great university, was a far different lifestyle, Midwestern versus Eastern. And particularly Midwestern undergraduate versus Eastern graduate. And I say that because When I was asked, or when I was required to file papers with Pennsylvania to qualify for the bar examination, it was necessary for me to get certification from the dean of the law school when I was enrolled. Calling on Dean Roscoe Pound, who was then somewhat retired in his teaching requirements, but still the dean, felt that he should know why I left Michigan and came to Harvard. And as a first year student, I was impressed with the fact that he took time out to talk with me as a college, as a law school student, about the University of Michigan Law School and Midwest experiences. And I recall that with a great deal of fondness and affection for Roscoe Pound, who I also had the good fortune of having him teach a class as a substitute while I was there. I had that real honor, I felt, to be able to sit in the classroom with Roscoe Pound, who was perhaps in his 80s, the late 70s, I think. I think it's equally important, at least to me, I had to know that I enjoyed the giants of the Harvard Law School just by sheer happenstance. A year or two after I graduated, Professors Williston, Scott, Seavey, Frankfurter were either retired or were moving on, as Frankfurter did to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I mention that because I would not be fair to myself or to the law school not to have those who are interested know that while there are giants there now, these were truly the giants. And that was a totally different era, because the law school then was relatively smaller as far as the faculty numbers were involved. And now the faculty has doubled, and I'm proud to say that a large percentage of the faculty members who are presently giants are Jews.
Has the enrollment increased?
The enrollment, very pertinent question, because the enrollment is substantially the same. But in my class, if we had about 600, only 363, I believe, graduated. Now, that does not mean that the other 240 or plus or minus were academic casualties. But there were some academic casualties. There were a number of people who were unable to stay in the law school for economic reasons, and a number of them who quickly recognized that they were not going to enjoy the legal profession, nor could they feel reasonably certain of the legal profession in those days providing the good means of livelihood. Now, because of the change in times, the law school takes about 550, and if they graduate less than 525, it's unusual. The selection is far more rigid, and the cost of going to law school doesn't allow for the luxury of making up your mind after you're there. The cost, I must say, was then, for me, at least $400 a year tuition, and having two sons, one of whom was at the college and the law school and is presently practicing law, and another son who was at the college and is now entering his last year or third year of the law school with his wife, to pay her the tuition and the cost of the law school and the relevant expenses is substantially higher than they were when I was back there in 1933. So I thought it was appropriate to say a little more about those law school years, because while I still remember with a great deal of fondness my grammar school and my high school and my college, I'm sure that it's clear to others and it is to me that the law school years were really the most important and formative years, and really established my commitments and my objectives, and leads me into the question that you asked me about self and my life.
How did you meet
someone? After taking the bar exams in the summer of 1936, again my father and mother, who I've already repeatedly indicated are supportive, particularly of their youngest child, thought I'd earned something, not having been a camper, not having been a vacationer on a regular basis, and they felt that I'd earned an important bit of travel. So my father, who was then doing some business with people in Oklahoma City, asked me if I would be willing to go to Oklahoma City for a business matter that he was involved in. It might require 2 or 3 or 4 days, and then to extend that trip for a week or two, in whatever way I found convenient and interesting. I soon learned, after I started to practice law, came back to the city, that my father was trying to make me feel like I was already a 10-foot lawyer, when in fact I was really a messenger boy. And I say that too with a great deal of sentiment, because when I got to Oklahoma City, these business associates and friends of my father treated me as though I was a member of their family for 2 or 3 or 4 days, and they were asking me what I was going to do and what I might be interested in doing while out in Oklahoma. And I said I had no special plans, but I had some law school friends in Dallas, and would they recommend that I might go to Dallas and enjoy the city, and particularly the Texas Centennial, which was then the big thing in Dallas and Fort Worth, and the big thing nationally, but even bigger, if you can imagine, Oklahoma and Texas and all those states enjoying the centennial. And I said I thought that might be a nice experience, and they were driving. So they took me to Tulsa, and they took me to Dallas. And in Dallas, I called Morris Jaffe, who was a year ahead of me at law school, but was a classmate of one of my roommates. And I knew Morris not only from the fact that he was at law school and I was friendly with some of his roommates, but I knew him particularly well because my roommate, who was a year ahead of me, and Morris were friendly, and I would see him frequently. So
is he related to the Pittsburgh Jaffe family?
His Jaffe family came from the Keys Point. And they had been in Texas for years. He, I think, moved with his family when he was a young boy because he really had no great recollection of Pittsburgh or Eastport, and he was a true Texan by all criteria, and particularly by the criteria of Texas hospitality. So Morris said that he would like to entertain me, and he knew Selma Wiener, and knew the family well, and was a member, Morris was a member of the Columbian Club, and they were having some special club activities, and so arranged for me to meet Selma. Selma was at Wellesley as a transfer student from H. Sophie Newcomb College for Women in New Orleans. She was the only one of the Wiener family that left Texas. She was also the youngest of four in her family. As a transfer student, she was at Wellesley her junior and senior year, and graduated in 1936, the same year I graduated from law school. Fate must have arranged for neither of us to meet while we were at Boston or Cambridge or Wellesley. Selma was very friendly with some Pittsburgh girls whom I knew, Bernice Steinberg and Edna Simon, and was very friendly with several of the lawyers who were in my class, and would go to football games and social events with several lawyers and friends of mine. So we knew each other by name or by mutual friends, but I'd never met Selma while we were in school. When I met her in Dallas, I courted her by telephone and long distance for approximately 2 years. She came up to Chicago on one occasion with her parents, and I met her in Chicago. She came up to Atlantic City to a brotherhood convention with her brother, who was actively involved. And I met her in Atlantic City with several of my roommates, all of whom were either from New Jersey or New York, and I forgot to say.
So you're Harvard roommates?
Yes. And my father, who was still actively involved in business matters in Oklahoma and in Texas, on one occasion when he was in that part of the country, called Selma, and she met to my father before she met to my mother. And as I say, we were married on March 20, 1938, so from the summer of 1936 until the spring of 1938. Our courtship was principally by telephone and by mail, with a few exceptions, such as a trip to Chicago, a trip to Atlantic City, and then finally to Pittsburgh.
Were you married in Dallas?
We were married in Dallas. Yeah.